You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. In Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, is a passage that has baffled many people, the account of Lazarus and the rich man. Many religious people use these scriptures to prove the righteous go to heaven when they die and the wicked go to an ever-burning hell, but yet never quite burning up. Well, is that true? Do the righteous go to heaven at death? Do the wicked go to hell at death and burn forever and ever and never burn up? I plan on doing two or three broadcasts on this subject, Lazarus and the rich man, and we'll let the Bible explain the truth of this passage. Get your Bible and a pen and a paper if you want to know the truth about this story and where the righteous and the sinner go at death and the truth and the timing of this passage. I hope you will get your Bible and go along with me here, or at least jot those scriptures down to check up on me later. Those who deny going to heaven or to hell at the instant of death have said the account of Lazarus and the rich man was merely a parable. But the immortal soul advocates insist it is not a parable. Jesus was stating facts that had already happened, they argue. So let's pretend this was not a parable. Let's take it literally. Jesus surely meant exactly what he said. Now, personally, it is a parable, but just in case you're one that don't think it's a parable, let's just take it as it is stated here. Jesus said there was a rich man. Then there really was a rich man. Jesus said definitely that this particular rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He really lived in luxury and splendor. You can read that in Luke 16, verse 19. Also, Jesus said, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, verses 20 through 21. Yes, there was many such beggars in Palestine when Jesus lived there. Next, Jesus described what happened to them, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, verse 22. They both died. Notice that, my friend, they both died. That is exactly what Jesus said. Now, read that again. Did Jesus say the beggar went to heaven? He certainly did not. He said the beggar was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, what is a bosom? If you can find what a bosom is, and in this case, Abraham's bosom, you will know where the beggar was taken. Look in your dictionary. A bosom is a breast of a human being with the arms as an enclosure, a loving embrace by the arms of one person about another, an intimate relationship. So Lazarus was carried into an intimate relationship with Abraham. Lazarus is pictured as a Gentile who receives salvation. Do Gentiles, upon being converted and becoming Christ, enter into any intimate relationship to Abraham? They certainly do. The Gentile-born Galatians, the scriptures written by Paul, say definitely, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, or children, and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3, verse 29. Through Christ, they become the children of Abraham. Through faith, we all become the children of Abraham, Galatians 3, verse 7. That is an intimate relationship with Abraham that is being taken into Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham is an heir of God. God gave Abraham a promise. Notice what it says in Galatians 3 and 29. Those who through Christ become Abraham's children are heirs, but heirs according to the promise God made to Abraham. Now, what did God promise Abraham? To what promise was this beggar now an heir? Did God promise Abraham and his children heaven? Now think about that, my friends. Did God promise Abraham and his heirs heaven? Let's not put any interpretation upon the sacred word of God. No scripture is of any private interpretation. It is interpreted by other scriptures. It ought not to be interpreted by man. Now to learn what God promised Abraham, we must turn back to Genesis 12. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And the Eternal appeared unto Abraham, and said, unto your seed I give this land. Genesis 12, verses 5 through 7. This land of Canaan is called Palestine today. It is on this earth, not up in heaven. The beggar through Christ became Abraham's seed in an intimate relationship of one of Abraham's children. Then God included this beggar when he said, unto your seed I give this land. Again later, God promised Abraham, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. Genesis 13 and verse 15. Again still later, in the same day, the Eternal made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the river of the Euphrates. Genesis 15, verse 18. Here God wrote into the agreement, or the title to the property, the very boundary line of the property. Of course, the expression your seed refers in particular to Christ. Since the beggar was Christ, he also was Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. The promise was not heaven. The promise was the land of Palestine on this earth. It was forever. So the promise included eternal life and eternal inheritance. You can read that in Hebrews 9, verse 15. The promise then was eternal life on this earth. Now notice an important point. The beggar was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. That is the Bible explanation. He became one of Abraham's children, and therefore he became an heir to inherit the land on this earth and eternal life. He was not yet a possessor, not yet an inheritor, merely an heir. The next question is, when was this beggar to inherit, to come into possession of eternal life in the promised land? Jesus is telling about Lazarus and the rich man, did not cover that point. He only told what happened, not when. We must find the answer not in human imagination or the false teaching of men, but in the Bible. The son who is heir to his father's property cannot come into possession of it before his father inherits it. The beggar carried into the intimate relationship of a son of Abraham could not inherit eternal life or this land prior to the time his father Abraham receives these promises. Now, when did Abraham actually receive these promises? Well, the startling answer of Scripture is he didn't. He has not even yet in our day inherited these promises. Scriptures reveal the answer through the inspired speech of the very first Christian martyr, Stephen, who was stoned to death for these very words. You find this in Acts 7. And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken to the God of glory, appeared unto our father Abraham, and said unto him, get you out of your country and from your kindred, and come into the land which I will show you. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans into this land wherein you now dwell, that is Palestine. And he gave him none inheritance in it, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him. Acts 7, verses 1 through 5. Again, this amazing fact is stated in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham died, but has not to this day inherited the promises. That's what it's telling us here in Hebrews. Abraham died and was still dead, not living on earth or in heaven or anywhere, but was still dead at the time of Christ's earthly ministry. We read in John 8 and verse 52, Abraham is dead. At that time, centuries after Abraham died, yes, it was centuries after Abraham died, Abraham was dead, still dead. He is still dead today. When then is he to inherit the promise? At the time of the resurrection of the just, of course. The kingdom of God is the government to be set up in Palestine to rule all nations after the second coming of Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You can read that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Human mortals in Christ, living and dead, receive eternal life, immortality, the promises God made to Abraham at Christ's second coming. That is when they shall put on immortality. Flesh and blood, human mortals, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead, including Abraham and this beggar, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53. Again, notice when Abraham and all his children, co-heirs, are finally to inherit the promises, the kingdom of God on this earth in Palestine. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, notice this is the second coming of Christ, and all the angels come with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Then and not until then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34. Jesus said Abraham would receive the promises, including eternal life, through the resurrection. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken by you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Matthew 22. Jesus did not say Abraham was then living. Yet the things God has promised are so certain, they may be counted as already accomplished. Abraham, as shown above by Scripture, was dead and is still dead. But Jesus spoke this about Abraham as touching the resurrection of the dead. Abraham will be resurrected. Jesus told the Pharisees they would see Abraham in the kingdom. You can read that in Luke 13, verse 28. Because Abraham, now dead, will then be resurrected from the dead. Well, I see my time is up, but we will continue this theme next week. If you would like to make your own study of this subject, just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and ask for your free booklets, Lazarus and the Rich Man, and ask for your free booklet, Is Hell Real? And all you need do is just call 1-800-611-8080 for your free booklet, Lazarus and the Rich Man, and Is Hell Real? This is Pete Hornbuckle.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.